to Ruby Rider's Pagan Paradise, podcast number 103, on June 1st, 2015. Changing the world, one ass at a time. So the first thing I want to tell you guys is about a license plate I saw today. It's just a little item of interest. The license plate said N2, like the letter N, and then the number 2. Then there was a space, and it said beds, like plural, beds. So here was the thought process that went through my head. N2 beds. Maybe this person sold beds. It was a very nice, shiny black Mercedes. But then again, maybe this person was polygamous. Mwahaha. Maybe they were into polyamory. Maybe they're into an open relationship and they have a whole bunch of different beds that they visit. Maybe they're into polyandry. Haha. Have I sent you all scurrying off to your dictionaries? Or perhaps that's way, way old school and I'm showing my age. Have I sent you all off to dictionary.com to learn the difference between polygamy and polyandry? Just switch the genders. You can figure it out. Because I didn't see the gender of the person driving the car. I was too interested in the license plate. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that one out there because you don't see that kind of stuff that makes you think of two things at once all that often. It was pretty cool. I liked it. That's what you get. License plates in California, I tell you. I don't think that license plate would go over too big in maybe, I don't know, Mississippi? Although I hate to discriminate against any of my Mississippi listeners. Okay, let's get to the letters. Hello, Miss Ruby. I hope this message finds you well. You may remember me from podcast 81. I'm the woman who discovered that my husband was bi-curious, and to scratch his itch, we incorporated pegging into our lives. Well, it's been 1.5 years now into our new lives, and it's definitely been a roller coaster. Lots of conversations, some misunderstandings, and a lot of emotional highs and lows, mostly due to my own anxieties about the situation and how to deal with my own sense of inadequacy in terms of fully satisfying a person that likes equipment that I don't possess. However, my husband is amazing. He is so wonderful and so loving, and he states he loves me and wants me only, and reassures me that I'm actually better than the real thing because I come with attachments. I don't lose my erection and go for as long as he needs. And I don't have anything he can catch. Technology to the rescue. The hardest sticking point is me actually believing him. So, pegging is going very well. I have scored a major coup. I have gotten him to come hands-free. I'm very proud that we were finally able to get it to work. It was on our 1-year anniversary of pegging, which was also our 20-year wedding anniversary. We have 2 blush new dildos now, the Ergo Mini and the Suco. He likes having variety. Again, the technology benefit. Well, this time we were using the Mini. We have a waterbed, so pegging can be a little challenging. I was experimenting with positions involving me to be lying on top of him a little bit more than usual. We started with me lying on him from behind. That was fun. But I had little access to his mouth and his cock. We decided to go with missionary position after a bit. Jackpot. The bed lent itself to pushing his pelvis up and into me a little more due to the give of the mattress, and I hit the magic spot. He started moaning and shuddering, little tight short thrusts, and then slow sensual grinding, and he just came everywhere. At first I was, oh, it must have the friction from rubbing up against my belly. I'm not a tiny girl, but he said no. My cock was at an angle that created no friction against it at all. It was off to the side, which is now the reason for placing a towel there. We were both amazed. So, of course, I had to peg him again later to make sure it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't. I was absolutely thrilled, and apparently so was he. And we used the Suco that time. He was at his limit and loving every second. So the waterbed missionary position worked for us in achieving hands-free orgasm. We tried it on a regular bed when we went to Hawaii, but couldn't get the angle just right on that bed, and reverted to cowboy and stroking him. Still lots of fun, though. We are also trying to see if we can get it to happen in other positions. We can almost get it in doggy style and with spooning, but he tends to lose patience. He can come very quickly in missionary, so that has become his favorite. I want to try chairman on him, but we'll need to save that for a kid-free night. I asked about how it feels to orgasm with just the anal and prostate stimulation. He said it's a very different sensation than being fucked and stroking himself, but results in ejaculation all the same and is amazing. I believe he actually likes the hands-free better. I also believe he has had a few dry orgasms, too, prior to coming and ejaculating. It just keeps getting better for him. And for me, I have only come with one of the first dildos we used without a vibrator, but we learned it was toxic, so we ditched it. It was also too hard for him. He really prefers the dual-density dildos with the slick surface and softer give. So we usually get me off before or after he's pegged. I have also gotten very close to coming just from the mind fuck, as it were. Being able to tap into my own masculine energy as he is tapping into his feminine energy is amazing. This has opened us up to places we never thought we would go, and for that alone, bisexuality notwithstanding, it has been the most wonderful journey. I would not trade it for the world. We are so much happier, free, and loving. Thank you for reading such a long-winded letter. You have my gratitude and my warmest regards. This is one of the best letters I've ever gotten. This is so excellent because I do remember you from Podcast 81. I do remember you had a lot of concerns and anxieties. And to hear how far you've come, to hear how much effort you took and he took together to get to the point that you are now, where you are calling it the most wonderful journey, and that you wouldn't trade it for the world. This is extraordinary, and thank you so much for writing in and telling us the story. One of the suggestions I might make in terms of having the right angle in missionary position is the Liberator cushions are amazing for that. There's three different ones I would actually recommend for anyone who's looking for help in this area, because it's true that missionary is difficult to attain unless you kick those hips up a little bit. And the reason that is because, I mean, you know, in the other opposite gender direction, we have probably all experienced putting a pillow or two beneath the woman's hips when the guy fucks her, right? Well, but think about this, it's the angle changes because the ass is further down. So those pillows, or that raising up of the hips, becomes a little more critical, and it becomes easier for the woman to pull off missionary with his hips elevated. So there's three different kinds. One is like a heart-shaped wedge. One is another wedge-shaped pillow called the Arch, A-R-C-H-E. And then if you want to go totally luxurious, there's the Liberator wedge ramp combo that like has him all supported and it's bigger and then he's like his back's all comfortable and everything. You have to check it out. So I'm going to put those links on the website for you, and perhaps that might enable you, especially if you get the little pillow and you take it on vacation with you, because that's something that you could actually put in the car. I'm not sure about taking it on the plane, depends on how big your suitcase is. But that's something that will work on regular beds, and try that out, because it's possible that that may help you reach the magic spot as well. Gosh, I loved your description. That was just so awesome to read. Well, congratulations to the both of you for sticking with it, for taking the time to work it out, and for you, particularly, for facing your fears. And listen to that man. He's telling you exactly how he feels, that you are the one he wants and you are rocking his world. And from the sound of it, goodness gracious, you certainly are. So yes, congratulations to both of you for finding yourselves in this lovely place that you are now. And thanks for writing in and telling us the story, especially so I could share it with all of our listeners. Okay, this next one is a couple of comments that were left by the same person on my blog. And let's see, it starts off, "This is a very big fantasy of mine and my wife's. We just need to get over the butterflies to make it happen. Wow, the images make my mind go crazy." See, my wife and I are Christian as well and do believe that whatever we do in our bedroom is right because it is sharing our love for each other. I will be honest in saying that our ultimate fantasy of inviting a bisexual, good-looking, respectful man into our bedroom to play with us is being held up based on our beliefs. Will we get over that holdup? Not too sure. Only time will tell. But I do like to believe in the consenting for each other's pleasure theory. Maybe one day, me and one of the good-looking men you have in the pictures on here can put on a good show for my wife, and I know she would thoroughly enjoy that. Wow. So one of the things that this first makes me think of is how much shame is connected to sex through religious beliefs. I really commend you on where you are now, whether or not you get to the point where you invite another man on your bed. And by the way, this comment was left on a post that I had about a bisexual encounter. I'm not sure if the picture was of that too. It probably was, but that's the whole point. That's why he commented on this. And so the person who wrote in, you, sir, I commend you on getting to the point you are now, and I love the way that you phrase that. You believe in the consenting for each other's pleasure theory, because that's kind of how I operate. I don't believe that when you have consenting adults doing something for each other's pleasure and no one is being harmed, that there's anybody that can tell me that that's a wrong thing. If there's nothing but pleasure to be had for all parties involved, then that's what I go by, but I am not particularly religious, so I can't say I sympathize with you struggling, but the way that you've described it, I can understand that it's a struggle for you and your wife, and I hope you find your way through that, and I hope that it is an amazing encounter for the both of you. It sounds like you have thought about it a lot. So, I don't know, there's Catholics out there that use birth control even though the Pope says they're not supposed to. Or did he change his stance on that? I can't recall. But my point is that sometimes the rules involved in religion don't have a whole lot of bearing on present-day life. How long ago were those rules made? You know, what kind of world was it back then? There's all kinds of things to consider, but I don't know. I guess I just want to say, good for you for being on this website, for commenting on it, and for having those fantasies and for talking about them, because that is a huge deal. So good for you guys. Even if it just stays in fantasy land and you talk about it and get off on it, that's a huge accomplishment. So good for you. And if you get there and you invite some lovely man to your bed and you have an amazing encounter, please do write in and let us know. We would love to hear the story. Okay, and this next one, I think, is also a comment on one of my posts talking about bisexuality on my blog. My husband admits that he only started paying more attention to men and penises after he discovered his prostate and what pleasure a penis could bring to it. His first explorations were after learning about the prostate from a sexual health article, and it went from there. His fantasies evolved from prostate play to play with penises to play with the entire man. After playing with his prostate for a few years using dildos, he discovered gay porn. And that was that. He now has a fantasy that is well beyond just pegging and wants to actually have the real thing. I tend to agree that pegging is not simply another heterosexual act. Penetration is biologically a submissive act, one biologically so for females. Pegging is at its heart a role reversal, and for some men, it may make them more interested in experiencing sex with real men. It did for my husband when he was younger, and now he has evolved into a bisexual man. He uses dildos as a way to satisfy his discovered gay side. And now those fantasies often involve men. Pegging is now one of the ways he acts his gay fantasies out, and it has taken a toll on my self-esteem in the process. Prostate play didn't make my husband bisexual or crave a man, but I feel like it definitely pushed him in a direction that he may not have otherwise gotten to on his own. This is a really interesting letter that it brings up so many thoughts for me. One of the first things it makes me think about and want to express to you is your very last thing that you say. It pushed him in a direction he may not have otherwise gotten to on his own. One of the things that he has discovered is a way to experience an enormous amount of pleasure. So in my world, and I know that this may be entirely separate from your world and very, very different, if someone can find that much pleasure, I would really like them to experience that pleasure, especially if his experimentation with his prostate was done in a solo manner. And from what you describe now, is he is doing this in a solo manner. Fantasies are fantasies. And I don't know, that I know that people express that the inability to compete, if you will, because it's an opposite gender situation, is one of the things that does a number on their self-esteem, just like you talk about. Because, I mean, what do you do with that? It's not like you can lose weight and exercise and you know, whatever you choose to do to try and win your partner's affection away from someone else. And, of course, this is all pretty clearly based on monogamy. This sounds like you have a very monogamous relationship. But at the same time, saying that because he played with his prostate is the only reason that he really started thinking this way, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think it certainly led him down that path a little more quickly. And he was playing with toys, is what it sounds like. You were calling them penises, but I call them dildos. I call them sex toys. And one of the things that you mentioned is you tend to agree that pegging is not simply another heterosexual act. It can be simply another heterosexual act. That is not the only thing that it is. Sometimes it is something that awakens a desire to experience the real thing. It awakens a bi-curiosity. And, you know, I used to deny this much, much earlier in my podcasts. And I've gotten enough letters like yours that show me that sexuality is much more fluid and that it's not a black and white thing. And it's so hard to tell where it comes from, too. Did your husband have a submerged, unexpressed, unaccepted by himself, by curiosity deep within himself before he even began the prostate play? Hard to say, isn't it? It's almost impossible to say. Or was it just a function of, wow, this feels so good that I wonder what it would feel like with the real thing? Because there are a lot of men out there that do not have bi-curious urges, and it feels so amazing, but they want absolutely nothing to do with other men. So, yeah, hard to know where that all came from. It sounds like maybe he would have been bisexual no matter what. So, in a sense, here's the part that I disagree with. It sounds like you're blaming play with his prostate on him turning out the way that he did. It sounds like these fantasies and his prostate play gives him a lot of pleasure. So although I know it's very, very difficult for you to accept because that whole inability to give him what another man could and inability to compete with another man is difficult for you, I would hope that he would have found those parts of himself anyway, because it sounds like those are very important parts for him to express and enjoy with himself. And I don't know, you may not be into this at all, but consider this. I'm just going to throw these things out there and you can take them and throw them into the trash can if you like. What would it be like if you surprised him and he came home from work and you were dressed like a man and you fucked him with a strap on? What would that be like? Would it be playing into that fantasy and a whole lot more exciting for him? That's something to think about. And there's one more thing I want to express. I know that you and I are not the same because I am looking for a non-monogamous relationship. Now, I mentioned back in podcast number 100 about the guy who was coming for Easter and how I was very hopeful about all that Easter weekend. And then I alluded to that when I did the interview with Sue, and about how that had gone swimmingly, which it totally did. Well, he's back in Texas because he can't move out here right away. And he does have an element of bisexuality to him. But it's interesting. I love gay porn. I love the idea of a man with another man. It turns me on. And he has told me that while he really, really enjoys being with another man, that he knows that he's absolutely positive he would never want to do anything but be with a woman for the rest of his life. So that calmed my fears about maybe a man winning out, so to speak. Because even though I'm okay with my partner having other partners in a relationship, of course, there is always a concern that you're going to lose that partner to another person if you allow that freedom. I think that's at the heart of anyone who considers non-monogamy or polyamory. So, but to go further with that thought, not only do I find it hot, but it doesn't feel like competition because of what he told me. So I want to hear the blow-by-blow if something happens. I totally do. So I know that's a completely different way of looking at it than you, but just to give you a little perspective. So let's see, what else did I find in your letter that I wanted to comment on? Well, basically, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry that it has taken a toll on your self-esteem. That's a difficult situation to be in, to not be able to provide him with something that he so clearly found out that he wants to explore. So I hope that you two continue talking about it. I hope you go out and get some counseling and get this, try and figure this out with a sex-positive counselor who is open to alternative relationship structures, if that's something you two decide you would like to explore, or even just exploring, you know, a threesome sometime, or allowing him that freedom, or any one of those things that are a possibility, even if it's that you would never allow any of that or would like to explore it, but that you just need to do some counseling to work through all the feelings around it. Take care of yourselves around that, please. Especially take care of yourself, because this is a difficult thing for you. And I would hate to see pegging get ruined as something that you don't enjoy doing at all because you know it's connected to something that is giving you pain. So yeah, that's what I would suggest, is please go to a counselor. And thank you for writing in. I don't get nearly as many letters, clearly, expressing this side of the coin. And I want to hear all sides of the coin. So thank you for writing in and sharing your story with us. And I wish you the best with it. Please let us know how it goes. Okay, the next letter. My wife and I enjoy pegging. We had a harness and dildo that measured 6 inches long, 1.5 inches in diameter. That just wasn't enough for me. I wanted more. We recently purchased an expensive dildo that is 10 inches long and 2.5 inches in diameter. It's bigger than I thought once we got it home and tried it. Any suggestions on easier insertion or stretching techniques? I just can't throw it away. And I love the feeling once we get it in, but it just seems to take forever. Also, there is a little pain, but the smaller one is just too small for me. Thanks in advance for any help. Okay, here's my suggestion. Going from 6 inches to 10 inches and 1.5 to 2.5 is a huge jump. The easiest thing that I can recommend and the best thing is to get a dildo that's in between the two. Get something that's maybe 7 or 8 inches long and maybe 2 inches in diameter, because that, you know, fucking with that will allow your ass to open up more and get used to that bigger diameter. Now, you can buy sets of like graduated butt plugs. They sell those. But I don't really think that that's what you need. I think that a dildo that's in between would be the best idea. And that way you can both play with it. And also, you know, there is one of the ones in the Blush Novelties line, the real new dual density ones. And it is 9.5 inches long, but it's got kind of like little balls on the bottom of it. So the insertable length is quoted as being real close to 7 inches. And the diameter is 2 inches. It's got that dual density effect, so it's going to be fairly soft. I'm not sure what product you have now. That's the 10 by 2.5. But it also, and this is what made me think of it, is it has a suction cup on the bottom. So it is something that you can play with in the shower yourself and get some practice. And maybe if you practice a little bit in between times when she pegs you, that will again allow you to take it easier. It's just a matter of practicing, pretty much. Now, the little bit of pain that you say you feel, remember the physiology of the anal sphincters involves the inner sphincter, which is involuntary muscle, and it can only stretch so far. So that little bit of pain you feel is actually little teeny tiny micro tears happening that will render that sphincter useless. And don't get all freaked out when I say this. I always have to follow it really, really quickly with that comment, because anybody that has had bad cases of constipation two or three times and past bowel movements a couple times larger than usual, which is what happens in constipation, has already done as much damage with that sphincter as can be done and has rendered it pretty useless. It's not uncommon for that to happen. That inner sphincter is functional. When it's fully functional, what it does is it holds in liquid and air. So I have gotten letters from men who say they can fart more easily when, after they've been pegged and when they get up to the larger sizes of toys. So it's not something to be afraid of. If you like that big one and you just really want to be able to take it a little bit more, then keep working on stretching up to that, because that's not an outrageous diameter. It's pretty big, but it's not, you know, freaking huge, and it's not beyond what I would say, hey, give it a go. Because there are people out there that take enormous toys in their ass and they don't have fecal incontinence. I am going to put a link in the Linkorama to my article about no, pegging does not cause fecal incontinence, just for all of you who want to totally read up on that. And this is the first time you've heard about it. And it's got diagrams and it's got all kinds of things. There's also a special edition podcast that I made addressing that issue. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. So I'm going to put a link also to the Sumo if that's something that interests you. But any toy that is an in-betweener is what I would recommend for you. Also, there's one other thing that comes to mind. I have always been really adamant about not using any kind of numbing spray, and I still am, absolutely. That's one of the worst things you can possibly do. So don't think that that's what I'm recommending here. But I have been so adamant about not using it that I have been pretty much discounting any kind of thing that you apply or spray or anything like that at all. And there is one, actually, and let me get the name of it for you. Okay, it's made by Intimate Organics, and it's called Adventure Anal Spray. Anal is an adventure. And I'm just going to read the description because it's pretty interesting. Unique formula that contains a certified organic extract blend with the natural potency of clove, goji berry, aloe, and lemongrass. The anal sphincter becomes relaxed and penetration becomes comfortable. Unlike other anal sprays that can numb the sphincter and cause tearing, this herbal spray does not have anesthetic effects, works quickly, and is easy to use, latex and condom friendly. So that might be something to try. Try it and tell us how it works. I'm going to put a link for that in the Linkorama as well. And good luck on taking that 10 by 2.5. You taking that toy qualify as a size king, sir. So congratulations. I do have to laugh a little bit because this is a case of your eyes were bigger than your ass, right? But you're getting there. So you go for it. Okay, next letter. I'm married, both of us in our 40s. I'm straight, never had any interest in men, but the thought of my wife pegging me is sort of hot. How would I approach the topic? This is my single most asked question ever, and I still enjoy answering it. The very first thing I would ask you, sir, is if you two have good communication around sex, because you need to be able to talk in bed about sex. You need to talk about the sex you're having. You need to be able to express your desires and things like that. So you need to start off having good communication around sex. Probably the best way I've heard it phrased is, if you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it. That's a little harsh, because a lot of people out there don't talk about the sex in bed. They don't talk about sex at all. And they just kind of don't talk, and they have it, and they don't end up talking about sex until something goes wrong. And if you are one of those couples, then I would suggest that you start talking about it immediately, because there's no better way to have bad sex than to never talk about it. If you are not one of those couples and you two already talk about sex in bed, that's awesome. You have the foundation and the platform from which to go forward. Now, I've written an article called Convincing Her to Try It, and I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama. It's got a lot of information about different ways to go about approaching this. Let me just give you the don'ts. I will certainly put the link for the article in there, but the don'ts are: do not show her porn. Do not go out and buy a strap-on and surprise her with it. Okay? Those are the two biggest no's. And one other one that comes to mind, even though it's not one of my cardinal rules, but somebody else brought it up recently. This does not sound like it would ever happen with you, because it sounds like pegging is a brand new concept for you. But for other people listening, if you used to have pegging in your past relationship and you don't have it now and you'd like to incorporate that, please be careful talking about that in a way of, well, you know, Susie used to fuck me with a strap on and really like you to do that, because, ooh, that's a dicey option. Leave the names out and say, you know, that is something that I have found that I enjoy a lot. And so I'd like to have that in our relationship. I would love to share that with you. So leave the names of the past partners out. I think that's a great idea. So getting back to your situation, yeah, read that article and see if it helps you figure out sort of how to approach her. Different women need to be approached different ways. Do not make the assumption that if she does not like ass play herself, that she's not going to be into it with you. That is not the case. It is not that uncommon to have women who really don't want to have anything to do with ass play, but they're totally down with pegging. You know, the fair number of women who enjoy pegging really don't want any kind of anal play themselves, so it's not a prerequisite. Don't think that if she won't let you near her ass, that it's a done deal and it's not going to happen. And don't necessarily try to convince her that she needs to have ass play herself as a method of trying to get her to accept playing with your ass. If you try ass play with her and she doesn't like it, great, then just move on to yours. One of the ways I think is the best is just information, patience, and communication. Those are the cardinal rules. A lot of information about prostate health, about prostate pleasure and how it is like the G-spot, and information for her to read at her leisure. And then patience. If she's like not into it or kind of freaks out the first time, just wait a while and then bring it up later. And the communication part, talk with her about it. And do it in a way, if you can, if there's any way that you can make this happen this way, try and keep the fear out of it. Do not talk to her about it as if you have leukemia, or that it's something you're ashamed of or scared of her reaction to. Try and make it sound like it's a way cool thing that you have found out about and you want to share with her. So those are the basics, but it goes into a lot more detail about different things in the article, so I'm going to leave that for you. And let us know how it goes. Good luck to you, sir. And thanks for writing in. Okay, here is another, the word that comes to mind is a disgruntled woman about the whole pegging thing. Here's what she says. You need to understand from a woman's perspective. I also had a very open relationship with my ex until he started asking for a dildo up his ass. It was fine at first, but about 6 months into it, it was like, okay, 30 minutes prepping, which meant putting lube in and around his asshole and fingering it. Then another 30 to 45 minutes fucking his ass with a strap on. And what did I get in return for his mind-blowing best ever orgasm? 10 minutes of half-hearted, half-limp vaginal that was so bad, I just said fuck it and got myself off, too much to his relief. This went on for 6 months of him half-giving it to me and then trying to guilt-trip me into pulling out the dildo before I finally said, enough is enough. So that is as much of the story as we have. This is what the woman wrote in. And one of the first comments I have about this is, when there is an inequality in a relationship in terms of how much you give to each other, that's never a good thing. Clearly, from what you describe, what you both were getting out of it was not equal. One of the things that I noticed was it sounds as if you were trying to have your mind-blowing sex on the same night he was having his. That's the best way I can put it. Many times when men have anal pleasure and prostate stimulation, it can kind of short-circuit something as far as them being able to then have an erection and fuck a woman. So most of the time, what I advise is trading nights, if you will. Pegging is something that just needs to be kind of done, and then you get yourself off how you best like to get yourself off. Or he gets you off totally and has a fun time with you and makes you orgasm once or twice or three times or whatever you do before you peg him. And do not leave it until afterwards, because that's a big mistake. It kind of sounds like that's what was happening. But also, you can completely separate the nights. And if it's something that turns you on when you do it, then you can just get yourself off whichever way you like best after he's done. The type of orgasm that men have sometimes from pegging is so intense that they can't do a whole lot afterwards. And if you have not gotten an orgasm that leaves you in that state of hardly being able to do anything afterwards, then you two need to start scheduling nights where it's your night, and his job is to rock your world. And it may have nothing to do with his cock. It may have, you know, everything to do with whatever your favorite thing is. So that's the description that I would give you about how I consider a relationship where you're both giving. This is an equal relationship. This is, as Dan Savage would say, a GGG relationship, where you are both good giving and game. Because one of those G's is giving of equal time and pleasure. Bingo. That wasn't happening. I don't blame you for being really pissed off about it. So if there is still any way to salvage the situation, because since you didn't tell us the rest of the story, I don't really know where you're coming from in terms of enough is enough, I'm not going to fuck you anymore, or enough is enough, we're not going to have a relationship anymore. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Your ex. I get it. And I went on and on and on. Okay, that's for the benefit of my listeners then. This is about your ex. Well, now I'm curious as to if this is the main thing that broke you up. But it's sad that that's the way it happened, regardless. And thank you for sharing the story, because once again, don't hear as many stories from that side of the coin. So thank you very much for writing in. And for anybody else listening that may be struggling with something resembling this situation, yeah, I poured out my advice for all you guys instead. Okay, here's a next. This was a comment left on one of the posts I had on my blog. My boyfriend and I both lost our anal virginity to each other. I loved doing it to him. I mean, I almost got off just from the strap-on rubbing where it should. We had some of the best, hottest sex that night. He's terrified our friends will find out because he doesn't want to be called gay. How sad is that? This was great pleasure for us both, and trust me, he's far from being confused. Try it, friends. You won't be disappointed. Okay, this is another one of those letters where I'm not really sure where you are now. Okay, he's terrified your friends will find out because he doesn't want to be called gay. Oh, gay is not a negative. Being gay is not a negative unless he's really close-minded and all of your friends and his friends are all close-minded. I've said this a lot of times. I would love to see a world where, say, your boyfriend, somebody finds out that he likes anal pleasure and say, dude, that's gay. That he would just turn and look at them and say, and? Because the person saying that's gay is using it as an accusation. And inherent in the word accusation is that there's a negative there. There is no negative. You know, clearly he's not gay, because if he's anything, he's bisexual. Because he's got you for a girlfriend and he's fucking vagina. So there you go. Gay guys do not fuck vagina. But this whole thing about being afraid of being called gay, straight men spend so much time trying not to appear gay that there was actually a study done that showed that there is much more relaxed attitude and happiness with sex life amongst gay guys and bisexual guys who are out that as compared to straight guys, because straight guys spend so much time not trying not to be seen as gay. It just blows my mind. So anyway, rant over. It's so sweet that you guys both lost your anal virginity to each other. And what it sounds like is that he's not wanting to do it anymore. Because you said this was a great pleasure for us both. So, shoot, I would encourage him to let all that go, of course. But, you know, what else am I going to say, Ruby Ryder, right? He's far from being confused. Not really sure what you mean by that. I think it's that he's straight and there is no part of him that wants to be with a man. But, you know, society puts so much crap on us and so much shame about sexuality that, let me tell the story one more time that I think is the coolest story ever, is a young couple wrote in, this man, and he said, I believe they were in their mid-20s, and he said that a few of their friends knew about the pegging thing, but certainly not all of them, until the day that they went to a wedding reception, and all of his friends were sitting at the same table, and his girlfriend got a little bit too drunk and just announced how much he liked pegging. And there was nervous laughter and, you know, discomfort and what have you. But the young man said that he took great pleasure in the fact that every single man at that table contacted him independently afterwards and asked him, dude, so what is the deal with this? You know, talk to me about it. See, this is what can happen if you own it, right? And so wouldn't it be awesome if your boyfriend could take a deep breath and own it and say, oh my God, yes. Are you kidding me? This is like the most fucking amazing pleasure ever, is to get fucked in the ass. You want to know about it? Call me up and I'll tell you. But, you know, meanwhile, man, I'm having some of the best sex ever. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? But thanks for trying to encourage people at the end of your message there. Try it. You will not be disappointed. I totally agree with that part. Okay, next letter. Interested in trying this out and wanted to get something that would be dual purpose, pegging and DP, which is double penetration. For pegging, I plan on purchasing the spare parts Jacques to keep things in place. I want to get one with a bulb that won't hurt me for dual penetration, but is also long enough to reach her, and also not too thick on the receiver dildo end. I noticed that these two were missing from the guide. And then he lists two doubles, the double-ended dildos, and asked if anyone was familiar with them and their specifications. Okay, so the two that this person who wrote in mentions are, one of them was the Fetish Fantasy Elite 8. Yeah, that's not a good company. I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't buy it. They have crappy stuff. And then one called the Mantric Sisal Edge. Mantric Sisal Edge. Never heard of it. It's sold by Love Honey. Love Honey's a great company. This looks like you're probably in the UK because the link that you had was for the UK. And, you know, going from the reviews, if those are the two you're considering, I would try the Mantric Sisal Edge. What a very strange name for it, because the reviews actually sound great. I have not run across a double that can be kept in by the vast majority of women on any type of double at all. And there's a fair number of people that say that this one works like that because it is adjustable, is what it looks like. But if you're choosing between those two, then I would choose the Mantric. And let us know how it works. You said that those two were missing from the guide. So I've already talked about all the others, and it sounds like that you have read about them. So, but that's one more that is kind of probably a new one that we don't know about. And it's possible that it's sold mostly in the UK as opposed to here as well. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know much about it. And I looked at the reviews and it looks like a pretty decent product. So yeah, if you want to try it out, go for it. Okay, here is the next letter. We want to get a double and are leaning towards the Vamp Duetto and or the Mantric Sisal Edge, though it seems short. Here's another person that mentions the mantric Cecil Edge. I like the duetto because the business end is almost the same size as me. We also wanted to try using the double for DP if possible, so the bulb end would go in me. I know you stated this has never been done successfully to your knowledge, but I was thinking of using a harness or modified underwear to help keep it in place. Any thoughts? I'm suspecting that this is the same person that left a comment in both places. So let's address the DP and the duetto. So the Vamp duetto. Vamp is a great company. So they're a company that can be trusted. The duetto is an interesting shape. It basically looks a little bit like the Vixen Creations Nexus, which is that there's two penis-shaped dildos, one in each of you, as opposed to sort of a bulb for the vagina to sort of supposedly hold on to. With the shape of the duetto, I think it would be more difficult for you to hold that bulb end in anally in your quest for dual penetration. Sure, if you want to rig some kind of a harness up to try and hold it in to your anus while you try DP, that's an idea. You might want to try that. Any other thoughts about it? Not really. I have heard maybe one person say that they managed to do it, but that it was very clumsy and difficult and that it wasn't easy at all to do and it had to be done just right. And yeah, so it sounds similar, interestingly enough, to when a woman tries to hold in a double with her vagina and finds out she needs a harness, is what it sounds like. That even with the anal sphincters, there is so much back and forth movement, and then, you know, how much you pull out can depend on whether you're going to, that toy's going to fall out of her, and depending on what position you're in, depends on which toy or penis goes in which hole of hers. Yeah, lots of stuff to figure out. It sounds like a physics problem. Oh my gosh, an engineering problem. That's it, engineering problem. And the mantric Cecil, you mentioned it again. And it says it seems short. You know, you are correct in that if you're going to try DP, you're going to want something longer because you're going to want something that can basically reach, you know, and get to the right place, I think is the best way to express it. So it's possible that it would be a little bit too short. Those are the thoughts I have about it. Okay, here we go. Next letter. Hi, Ruby. I was wondering if you ever came across anything in your love of pegging about it being used to reduce a swollen prostate, or that regular pegging can be used to prevent a prostate from being swollen. In general, are there any physical health benefits from pegging? Ha ha. Well, there is no study that shows there are any physical health benefits from pegging. Absolutely not. However, Aneros, A-N-E-R-O-S, and I will put the link in my Linkorama, as I have done many times. Aneros is a company that makes solo prostate massage devices that were designed initially exactly for that reason, to do prostate massage for prostate health. They have done a study that involved like 200 guys, and 95% of them had either a reduction in swollen prostate symptoms or a complete elimination of them. So this is a study that was published in a journal of urology that is absolutely right above board, professional, you know, all the things you look for in a medical study. So that's out there, and that is a proven thing. So would the massage that happens from pegging to the prostate be beneficial as well? I would tend to think that that's a no-brainer, that it would help as well. But there are other factors to consider. There are people who love to hammer away with the pegging thing. And I recall the advice by the doctor who wrote in. Ooh, wow, I made an assumption there. The medical professional that wrote in and gave me all kinds of information about, will too much pegging cause fecal incontinence? He gave me so much physiological specific information. And one of the things he wrote in his comments that he wrote to me was that, hey, this is a gland, so probably not good to be hammering away at it. There are people who hammer away at it all the time and don't seem to have a problem at all. But once again, there are no studies. You know, it's not like we have done a study on all the people that do really hard pegging and find out that this is a problem. It's, for that matter, it's not like there's been a study done of gay men who have really intense hard anal sex and found out that there's a problem. I do like to think that beyond a certain point, it's good not to hammer away at it. So, is there benefits to having the prostate massaged rather than hammered? And of course, that's your own decision, which, you know, where that line lies. Yes, absolutely there would be. I mean, I do, again, I think it's a no-brainer. Because that's sort of like comparing long ago general practitioners, when a man presented with a swollen prostate, the general practitioner, him or herself, would do a prostate massage on the patient or have the nurse do it, right? So if that helped, which it totally did, because that was the go-to back then, and then the Aneros devices help, well, same. See what I mean? If a finger can help, if an Aneros device can help, then pegging can help as well. So yes, are there physical health benefits? Absolutely. One of the things I have heard said is that a urologist, and this is a friend of mine who he is in the profession of operating a machine that dissolves kidney stones, and he is totally into pegging. And he told me that a urologist, who he works with urologists all the time, clearly, told him the very best thing that you can do for your prostate is to have an orgasm every single day. Well, that makes sense because it's sort of like flushing things through. You know, it's keeping that fluid going through there and keeping that area nice and healthy and lots of circulation and things happening. You see, what happens is there's a lot of tension in the pelvic floor muscles. This is a very common place for men and women to hold tension. And with men, how that manifests is, and I'm not a doctor, please nobody think that I'm a doctor and I'm giving you medical advice. I'm telling you what I know from other people's experiences, from the study that was done, from all of the information that I have put together and amassed about this subject. So, you know, with that disclaimer, I go on to say, it seems as if what happens with the prostate is that there is a stasis sort of condition. Now, before, as I mentioned, MDs used to treat this stasis condition with prostate massage. That has come out of fashion, unfortunately. What are the reasons why? Well, we can talk about that, but it really doesn't matter. The fact is that they just don't do it anymore, and they tend to prescribe medications that are ineffective, or they do pretty radical surgeries, like with lasers and shit like that, which are like, blow my mind. There are no studies done to show that prostate massage, that connects up prostate massage with a lack of or a reduction of getting prostate cancer. And, you know, there's really no motivation for anybody to do that because the pharmacology people and the people who own the lasers that do the surgery for prostate problems, for swollen prostate issues, they're not going to spend the money to do a study that shows that something that doesn't make them any money is actually more effective. That's the sad part of the system that we have, is that there is unfortunately not money to do the prerequisite studies that would convince everyone that this is a reality and that this actually works. So who knows, there may be some connection between massaging a prostate to keep it healthy, whether it be through pegging or fingers or the Aneros device, and a lower incidence of prostate cancer. The only connection that I know of is, I believe, more orgasms are connected to a lower incidence of prostate cancer. And that's not the same thing as prostate massage. So, you know, you can't really connect it to a lower incidence of cancer, even though it'd be nice to say that. That is not something that might be a correlation. It's not even a correlation at this point, and it's definitely not causation, because again, the studies aren't done. But physical health benefits, you bet. As a matter of fact, I know men who say to their girlfriends, that's one of the things they use to approach their girlfriend or their partner, their wife, whatever, is, honey, this is helps me not have a swollen prostate. This is a health issue. You need to fuck me. It's totally awesome. So yeah, there are absolutely health benefits. What I would love to see is a study done about men who receive anal sex. It doesn't make any difference how, whether it's another man or a woman with a strap on. Men who receive regular anal sex, what the percentage is of those men that get BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is the swollen prostate. That would be something I would be very interested to find out. I mean, I'd love to do lots of different studies like that just to try and kind of prove some of this so that we can all look at it and go, aha, and have one more reason to do our favorite thing. Yes, I think pegging can absolutely be used to reduce a swollen prostate. If it is really swollen, though, it's going to be a little touchy. It's going to be a little tender. So approach that carefully if you are in the position of having the swollen prostate. But regular massage of the prostate is probably one of the best things that you can do. And whether you do that through pegging or you do that through self-play with the Eneros toy or a toy yourself or what have you, absolutely, and as many orgasms as you can get. Make sure you put that one in there too. So I will also put a link to the Eneros device in the Linkorama. And I really highly suggest all men considering the Eneros, because I've told the story about the company before. This was originally intended exactly for BPH. And then the company did this study and the men reported some orgasmic side effects. How cool is that? Wouldn't that be awesome to be in like a medical study, have a swollen prostate and you've got urinary issues and everything like that, and you use this thing and not only does it help, but it fucking gets you off? That would be totally awesome. So yes, they have two websites to this day, the original one that has the study. I'll link that one. And then also their regular website, which is all red and black and talks about orgasms all over the place and has an amazing forum where there's a whole bunch of men there talking about how to achieve a hands-free orgasm and all kinds of different orgasms using the Eneros devices. And then I'm going to also put a link to the Eneros device on the enticeme.com website. So for any of these products that I've linked to, they're going to be linked to the enticeme.com website. And please remember, if you order from there, to use the Ruby coupon code, just Ruby, R-U-B-Y, for 20% off. Okay, I think that about does it, because we are coming up on the hour and I can't do a much longer podcast than that and post it up. So I'll cut it off here. On Twitter, I am at Ruby_writer on FetLife.com. My profile is Ruby_writer. On Reddit, I am one of the moderators for the pegging group. And on Facebook, I have a Ruby Writer profile and page. A subscription to my blog will bring you cool things that you never see and or hear about on the podcast, because obviously you can't see anything on the podcast. For example, we just finished Masturbation Month. If y'all weren't aware, every single day in May, I posted about masturbation, about getting off, about fantasies. I made stories up from pictures. I had a hell of a good time. It was really this intense creative writing surge for me. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of masturbation every fucking day. Yes, it was awesome. So that is actually something I do every year. And it is something that attracts a lot of readers, because it's like tuning in every night and finding another fantasy. So yeah, there's a lot of people who really appreciate May at Pegging Paradise. It's an example of one of the things that you can find on my blog that will never turn up on the podcast. Okay, and you know, part of the reason that I don't read a lot of erotic stories on the podcast is because I can't. I'd get banned from iTunes if I did. So there you have it. However, if you would like to purchase a subscription to my erotica, there are a number of audio stories there and a whole crap ton of regular erotic stories to read on my website. But there's a lot of audio stories as well, so that's where you will find those, but not on my podcast because I don't want to get kicked off of iTunes. So, yes, speaking of iTunes, the podcast is on iTunes and it's also available listen carefully, on my blog at peggingparadise.com. Here's the news, everybody. I got an upgraded server, so I will now be able to provide you once again with the ability to click and be able to listen to my podcast directly from my blog like you did before. Give me a little time to correct the links for that interim period when I was afraid that you would crash my server, please. Because, you know, it got to the point where I would post a new podcast and, would almost crash my server. And that's why I had to back off from that a little bit. It's all going to be back to normal. I'm going to change all those links. And I have another announcement. I am going to be teaching in Texas. Yes, I am going to see my sweetie at the end of June. And on June 28th at Forbidden Fruit in Austin, Texas, I will be teaching a pegging class there for a couple of hours. So all you Texans who have been fixing to learn something about pegging someday, this would be your chance. And speaking of Texas, the floods are happening there now. I think they're finally abating somewhat, but good grief, they've been really having way too much water and flash flooding and deaths, and it's been very sad for that part of it. So yeah, my prayers and thoughts are with all those people over there, and I really wish I could just magically transport all that water over here to California where we so desperately need it. But find me in Texas at the end of June 28th. And your questions and stories are always welcome. Please send them to ruby@peggingparadise.com or call me at 805-500-6544 and I will play your question or story on my podcast. Thank you all very much for downloading and listening, and happy pegging, everybody.